I wasn't concerned about any of it. When we repent, we turn our back on a lifestyle, but not on people. Pray for them. And if you're somebody who's having a struggle turning your back on things, yep, your brothers and sisters can help you. We can pray. But there's somebody you got to call out to greater. And that's Jesus. And ask him to help you. Oh, but he don't understand. I'm telling you right now, he understands. He had to be tempted in every way you could possibly be tempted. Or it was a fallacy. He had to be tempted to use drugs. Do we seriously think drugs is just a new thing? They figured out how to do this stuff in the Garden of Eden. That was one of the things that the angels taught them. It's all there. So remember to turn your back on the things, not the people. Well, praise God. Well, we have war on the floor today. So if you have a prayer request and haven't put it in up here yet, our usher will be glad to get areas. Our usher of 10 will be glad to get it from you. And I'm not going to promise you today's message is going to be real long. I'm not going to promise you it's going to be short. Last week was kind of a record for me. But just keep that in mind. But we also have a fellowship meal afterwards. And fellowship means you talk with people. You get to know people. Do that. Talk to people. Now, the great thing is, I don't have to do that, push you guys to do that too hard. You do it. You go, you sit down, and you become friendly. I remember, well, I think it was Miss Brenda or some, and a couple other people said, you know why? What really got my attention was people were friendly. Yeah. If you want friends, you know what the Bible says? If you want friends, be friendly. I believe that's in Proverbs. So many people are unfriendly, but yet they have no friends. Try being friendly. Smile. It's okay to joke. It's okay, I promise. You're not going to hell for telling a joke, depending on the joke. Let me stipulate that. To this day, I can't tell you how many times I tell somebody, I'm a pastor, oh, you got to hear this one. Wait a minute, where are we going with this joke? One, it has nothing. No, I don't need to. Shut up. I've just gotten to the point where I just tell people, just shut up. I don't want to hear it. It's nasty. Jokes are supposed to be funny. I always tell my kids that. And things, the humor on today's TV, it's supposed to be funny, folks. Anyhow, I'm on a soapbox there. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. Lord, we truly are honored to be called your children. But Father, help us to honor you and to help others to find you. Now, Lord, today we bring you our tithe and our offerings. Lord, I pray that you bless them. I present them as holy, as separate. Receive them now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and they're already gone. It's kind of a, we'll call it a shallow day for the junior church. I know we've got several little ones that are out that are sick, so. Oh, praise God. Well, you know, in the fall, I usually like to try to do a message called a lesson from a tree stand. Well, last couple of years, it's been kind of difficult, either due to patience or pains and aches of sitting in a tree stand in the cold. So I haven't done much in a tree stand. However, I do like warm. I love warm weather. And so most of you know this week, Jesse and I were afforded the opportunity to go do some salmon fishing. And we went up to Lake Michigan, beautiful lake, beautiful area, really, once you get out of Detroit. I always tell people, I said, I'd never been out of Detroit. Not everybody talks about how beautiful Michigan was. I was like, what do you see? I said, I ain't seen nothing but factories and houses and cars. And, well, man, you get up there and there's groves of cherry trees, groves of peach trees, the blue water of Lake Michigan. And just it's just beautiful. We've vacationed up there several times now. And so anyhow, today's message is called A Lesson from the Jackpot. The jackpot being the boat we were on. That is its current name. The new owner has not come to a firm decision on it, but he's going to change the name. And but he is he graciously invited Jesse and I up to go fishing, and so we just felt compelled we needed to do it. And one of the things I remember praying the night we got in, I said, Lord, please help us catch fish tomorrow. You know, those of you who remember our little fishing trip to Georgia, the biggest fish I caught literally would fit like right there in between my fingers. And then we found out that the trout were spawning, the bass were spawning down there. So spawning fish don't bite. So I prayed. I said, Lord, help us to catch fish. I want this to be a good successful fish. A good successful hunt means you come back with the game. A good successful fish means not only did you have a good time, but you came back with the fish. And so I've been asking, Lord, how is there a lesson in this? He said, there's a lesson in everything. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We have been told in the body of Christ, it is our job. And it is our job to be fishers of men. But the problem is, so much of the church is preaching that you have got to be out fivefold ministering it. You've got to be a pastor, you've got to be a prophet, an apostle, a teacher, an evangelist. And that is not the case. Absolutely not the case. This fishing trip taught me a lot, because in this fishing trip, I caught fish on, several of you have asked, well, what kind of bait did you use? We used spoons. They're a fishing lure, just for those of you who do not know the terminology. I have never caught anything on a spoon, ever. I'm like, they're cool, but I've never caught anything. And, you know, there was four of us on the boat, so we could have 12 poles in the water. And so we had lines off to the right, lines off to the left, lines down behind us, and you know, we were just trolling at about 2 miles an hour. And call came out, and I've got the video to prove it. The first hit we had was exactly sunrise that morning. The sun is coming over the dunes, over Jesse's shoulder as he's bringing in the first salmon. And it was a pretty decent size when he was about that big. And then I brought in one. It was kind of little. And I think, did you bring in your lake trout next, maybe? Yeah, he brought in a nice-sized lake trout. And that might have been a little bit big. I don't know. It was still a nice-sized lake trout. And then it was my turn. And my line went off. And, you know, you look at all these guys that are fishing on these things, and you don't realize how far your bait really is. See, they've got these little plank boards that help keep the lines in rows and stuff. But your counter, these poles have counters to tell you how many feet of line you've got out. And the one on the fish I grabbed was 796 feet out. It's almost three football fields, people. And the line is lead. So it's weighted. You're in water. And you got a fish pulling. So I get my line, I'm going. I start cutting, and all of a sudden this fish jumps out of the water and goes back down, and Todd and Marty, the captain and first mate, they both looked at me and said, good luck. They said, that's a steelhead. Good luck. I said, why? And he said, they're the hardest ones to get in because they jump out of the water and they'll throw the lure out of their mouth. I'm like, great. I crank and I crank and crank and crank and crank. He jumped out a couple times. I just kept cranking and cranking. Got him in there, and I got a 10-pound steelhead. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I'm elated. We've got four fish now. We're 4 for 4. Well, we ended up 10 for 10 that day. We never lost a fish. And it was such a good time catching those fish on. But one thing I noticed that during the time, the captain, the guy who had the most experience fishing, knew when it was time to change the lure. And he called it firing. We're firing that lure. And we were catching them on, and the names are just all over the place. We had blue jeans, green jeans, Magic Man, the Hulk. I'm like, okay, are these names on the packages, or is this some terminology you have to learn? And they're reporting it to other fishermen. What's catching the fish? This is something the body of Christ doesn't do. We don't converse, we compete. It is not a competition as to who builds the biggest stinking church. It's a competition as to between good and dark. Light and dark, good and evil. How about I get that right? That's where the competition is. Hey, there's a lost and dying world out there right now. There's a whole generation. There's an organization, Tim and Sarah know what I'm talking about. What's that? The youth organization? RCC? RUC. And it's an organization. We went to a gathering last year about it to understand more about it. And they're talking about this generation now. We don't understand. They don't understand us, and we don't understand them. And so they were saying, we've got to try to understand how they think. They don't have the same thinking. We look at them and say, well, are you stupid? They're the ones who at 3 years old was operating your cell phone or your computer. They're not stupid. They don't have that knowledge. They don't understand our perspective. And so we have to share things. And so these fishermen were calling, and he's even calling captains of charter boats and saying, I'm catching them on this. What do you guys... And say, well, yeah, we're catching them on the same thing and this. So they're talking and they're trying it. They're changing the lures. And, you know, we're at different depths. We're at different widths. We got all kinds of things going. And the thing is, we think that people are going to respond to the exact same thing. If I'd ask you, how many of you are diehard Dodge fans? There's a few hands going up. Ford fans, another few hands. Chevy fans, Toyota fans, whatever. Everybody's got their own likes, and these fish would go after certain things. And, you know, and here's the hard part. They had the easy. There's a phenomenon that happens on lakes, especially the Great Lakes. They're called mayflies. I told Todd the next day, I said, I was ready. I said, I want to tell somebody to tell Pharaoh, let God's people go already. There's enough flies. Our boat was covered in flies. And they were everywhere. You're standing, they're flying up your nose because they're just little tiny guys. But they're easy pickings for the fish. They come out of the water. They're birthed out of there. Poof. And these fish just go, whoop. It was reported 2 days before we got ours that a nice-sized salmon was caught, and they cut its belly open to see what it was eating. And it was packed full of flies. So for them to go after our lures meant we had to make it more attractive, not less attractive. We had to make it more attractive. And that doesn't mean that we compromise. Didn't mean we compromised what we were presenting. It just meant we figured out what was more attractive, what was better. That's why, and I think a lot of times, well, grace needed to be taught. But then grace went way out in left field. You don't have to actually change your life. God's grace is good. No, you need to change your life. It's for your benefit. So then we go that way. And then we go way over here, way, 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 way to the right. Well, women, you got to wear skirts. You got to have your hair cranked up in a bun. You can't wear makeup. Men, you can do whatever you want. But ladies, you have to do this. Okay, that, how many of you ladies that's attractive to? I don't see one hand going up. Because it's not. Now, men, how many, and if you raise your hand, I promise you there's a frying pan with your name on it. Does that sound attractive to you? Absolutely not. Why should my wife be restricted more than me? The Bible does not teach any such garbage. Paul said there's now neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek. What applies to her applies to me. It's the same. So our message to the world has to be the same. Do I love sinners? Absolutely. I love them beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I'm not going to say that the sin is right. The sin is wrong and it's going to destroy them. So as they're changing, the lures are trying to find out, well, we get a hit on this, we get a hit at this depth. We get a hit on this, or we figure out what works and what doesn't. We figured out pretty early because we had four fish within an hour. They were like, man, the sun's not even up, and we got every 15 minutes we were reeling in a fish. And so then, but then there came a lull. We kind of went out of the area. We tried to come back. Thought, well, we'll just go right back up the same track. Nothing. You think the same fish are there. You had to figure out what worked. And so it's a constant. Then later that night, we went out, and you need to understand, we had beautiful weather. You guys were getting rain. Oh, we were in gorgeous weather. Beautiful up there on the lake. Sun came over those dunes and cleared up. We just had some spotty clouds and just tiny little waves. See, the last time we were on that lake was in July of last year when we went on vacation up there. And Todd showed up and took us out on a boat that was actually bigger than this boat. And there was at one point, I looked off to the side, and here comes a wave, and it's above the top of the boat. It's not crested, so it's just a big swell coming up, and it fortunately picked us up instead of crashing on me. But I'm like, I'm not that strong of a swimmer, and I have no intentions of seeing Davy Jones's locker today. But here's the thing. I'm the one who gets sick on roller coasters and helicopters and hammocks, okay? Really? I'm serious. My wife, cast iron stomach. Oh, let's go to the roller coaster. Woo! I'm like, bleh. But she enjoyed it. She's the one that's heaving overboard, chumming for the fish. Justin's down in the bottom. He's like, I'm sleepy and I don't feel so good. I'm like, man, I got it all to myself. So the waters were so much better. We didn't have a storm coming in. The evening came and the lake was even flatter. That's not real good. Because that means them flies are not jumping off of that water. Them flies are going to be getting picked off more. They're not going to look at our lures. And so you have to keep trying. You have to keep trying. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. There's a saying amongst fishermen, it said, it's called fishing, not catching. If it was called catching, everybody would do it. But it's called fishing. You may get one, you may not. And so we're out there and we're just cruising along. I still don't know that you actually had one on that line, that we thought there was one on it, but it did buzz a little bit. The reels go bzz, bzz. The one you want to really hear is, bzzz. But Jesse, he reeled in a dud. The next one went out. I grabbed it and I start reeling in. Sure enough, out of the water comes this fish and back down. I'm like, are you kidding me? Why couldn't it just be a nice big old fat salmon that wants to just get in the boat? not try to throw my lure. And now he came up a couple times. I just kept fighting, and I just kept reeling. And by the time we get this board in, by the way, that holds it, at this point, the board is 450 feet out away from the boat. I still had 300 feet of line to bring him in. And I got him in the boat. Man, they're like, Jesse and him, like, he's bigger than your other one this morning. I'm like, you think? And they're like, yeah. And they weighed him. He was 12.7. He was a big old fish, but this fish had, and they bleed like stuck pigs. I don't know how or why, but they just splashed and had blood everywhere. Splashed, and the bilge pump, the hose came off, so we couldn't just hose off because we'd fill the bottom of the boat with water, turning it on. That's what we found out was happening. Every time we turned the bilge pump on, it was pumping water into the pump. Front bilge was pumping it out. And it's like, man, we're kind of sinking ourselves here. Anyhow, I had blood splattered on my legs. Now, you need to tell you all that because here's what happened. I had to release a little bit on the line because it was tight. And I hit the release. And these are bait casters. These are the round reels. I like open face. And what happened was I forgot to set the clicker that kept it from going crazy. And when I did that, it went pssst. And for those of you who are fishermen, you know what this is. This is a rat's nest of line. Except this is lead. And it kinks and it does all kinds of stuff. And you need to understand, this is special line. It's weighted. This was three color, meaning there was 90 feet of line on this that was lead, and it would go down and stay at 15 feet. There was enough weight on it, it would keep the lure down at 15 feet below the surface. And we got it off, and I was like, oh no. I was like, I knew better than that. And Todd says, well, he says, we'll get it cleaned off, and he's over dealing with it. And I said, you know what? You don't have to do that. I've made enough messes in my life. I know how to get this one out. I said, you go do, you keep him going. You do whatever captain's got to do. And I stood back here for an hour, I think it was, picking and figuring out which line crossed where, which one doubled back, and then how they looped. And Jesse said, Dad, when you were doing that the whole time, I mean, I had flies all over my fingers, and they were tickling. He said, your legs were covered in flies. That's how bad they were that night. And that was the only fish we got. And yes, I did get the line cleared out just as we were pulling lines to go back in. But I tell you that point because sometimes we make messes of trying to fish for things. But yet we want God to always clean up the mess. And something, you've got to clean this up. You've got to deal with the mess you made. We can't expect God to always come in. There's things that he and only he can fix. But there's times we have to fix them. Oh, you know what? I need to make adjustments. What adjustment am I going to make next time? Make sure the clicker's on before I release the bail. There's things I learned about this fishing. I finally got it. I mean, by the time we left or we were done fishing the last morning, man, Jesse and I, we were setting our own things out, and, you know, they just stood back. They'd take our plank, our boards off for us when they came, we were reeling them in. But, man, we got pretty good at it. Now, mind you, 2 hours later, I'm, you know, in the house, and I'm still doing this. I'm like, okay, is anybody else, is the room moving? Thank God I had my Dramamine. But we have to be fishers of men. What might work for one person isn't going to work for another. The salmon hit on one thing, sometimes at different depths. The salmon were hitting lower, the steelhead were hitting higher. And so they hit different things. But they're both excellent fishes. And actually, we were told we caught the best of the best out of the lake, those big steelheads. So we're thrilled. And for those of you who don't know what a steelhead is actually a rainbow trout born in a river, made it to the lake, and lived its life in a lake. But they're this big. not this big. And they're not rainbow colored anymore because their scales and their skin changes to the color of the lake. They're dark blue on the top. They're actually beautiful. But they're just giant rainbow trout. And but like that, we have to know, you know, how do I talk to this person? You know, there's certain people that aren't going to be able to talk to a guy that's got 15 earrings on his eyebrows, covered in tattoos. But then there's people that can. Recently, I read an article and watched actually an interview with Alice Cooper. I think most of you in there know who I'm talking about. And, you know, he was the son of a preacher. His grandfather's a preacher. And, you know, he ended up marrying a preacher's daughter. But they didn't live a preacher's life. And he turned his life around. He started serving God. And he said, I realized that I had become Alice. Alice is actually not his name. It's Henry. But he had become the character he portrayed in his concerts. And he said, that was not me. That's a character. He said, but the drugs and the alcohol, they were very real. But you see, he has been able to talk to people you and I would never get to talk to. He has talked to Marilyn Manson. He has talked to Rob Zombie. He has talked to some of these people that most of us would turn our back on. And he has told them about God. But there's people you can reach, I can't reach. God has given me an inroad to certain groups of people. Boom, I'm just accepted. Others, don't want anything to do with you. But all of you have somebody that you're an influence in their lives. Well, they're not biting. I'm trying to preach to everybody that'll listen. Preach to the ones you're supposed to. You aren't Billy Graham. See, there's two types of fishermen. There's the ones who have a pole, and they're putting in a lot of time. And then there's those that's got great big nets, and they're trolling the waters with those nets. Not everything they get in those nets, and sometimes those nets come up empty. They have to actually pick out the garbage, which, not surprisingly, was an issue we had up there. Brought in our lines, we've got garbage, trash bags and stuff we're having to peel off of our fishing line because we are a dirty creature. Why do we think the water, and there was somebody, some jerk, threw their trash out on the water. It was floating in a bag. Why do we have to be this stupid? But we have got to know that God has a call for every one of us. You have people you will be able to talk to and lead to the Lord. Oh, but I got to lead somebody every day. Who set that goal? You or God? Who said it? Because if you said it, I can promise you, you're going to miss it every day. You're going to miss it every day. Because here's what I'm here to tell you. You aren't called to reach everybody, but you are called to reach certain people. Make sure you're listening to God, who you're supposed to be going after. If we were targeting bass, we were fishing in the wrong waters. Bass weren't there. They aren't in 300 feet deep water. They're up in the little shallower water. Know who God has opened up opportunities for. He's given you a sphere of influence. He's given you the opportunity. Be the man or woman of God that he created you to be. Don't become Billy Graham if you're not Billy Graham. You're going to fall flat on your face. Billy Graham has led millions to the Lord. And he preached a simple message. I wish we'd just get back to that. Salvation is simple. I watched that Johnny Carson bit when Billy Graham was on there. He had, and this was 1973, he had just come back from preaching to 1.3 million Koreans. In 1973. And I forget how many conversions he said they had. He said, these are legit. We talked to them. We had people that worked and they talked to them. They got their names. We know who they are. It isn't just one of those things. Raise your hand if you want to know Jesus. Yep, I got 150 people saved in here today. There ain't 150 people in here. And I've been in those services. Preachers that are liars, you're going to get found out. If you're going to be a fisherman, be smart about it. Find out what works. But ultimately, listen to the Holy Spirit. When we started this church, we're like, God, we got to get the news out that we're here. How do we do that? I asked Pastor Dosek. Pastor Dosek said, Art, newspapers are dead. Stay away from newspapers. Get on the radio. Radio is the best thing you can do. All right, we called the radio. It was going to be $500 a week. And maybe a month. We didn't have that. Okay? We didn't have that coming in. I'm like, we can't spend $500. I was self-employed, scraping by, getting by, doing all this. And it's like, we don't have $500 to do that with, God. And we knew there was one thing we had always known. There was just something God just kept doing us, and he kept telling us, put it in the compass. How many of you have seen the ad in the compass? A lot more never heard it on the radio or would have heard it on the radio. We did sponsor a section up on a Christian radio station out of Upper, but that was pretty cheap and easy. But it didn't affect anybody. We have had more people come because of the Compass ad. We even paid $600 for a billboard. Didn't net us one person. But this little ad in this little paper has brought people all over this county, surrounding counties, and for quite some time. I can even go into the Amish community. And they look at you. You're in the Compass, aren't you? Yeah, I am. We saw your ad. So you better believe I better be treating people the way they're supposed to be treated. Because even the Amish know who I am. You have got to be careful too. Can't just do whatever you want. There's other fishermen out there. You can't just go cut them off. Well, they're catching fish over there. I need to get over there where they're at. That's a big no-no. I'll just tell you straight up right now, if you're ever fishing and you see somebody fishing in a spot, you stay away from them. They're kind of like deer hunters. You don't come near my stand. I got a hot spot right here. But fishermen aren't any different. No, you go find your own hot spot. Because it takes work, it takes time and investment. So be fishers of men, all right? All right, not breaking any records today. Where's the prayer request? But that's all right. We're not here to break records, are we? Mm-hmm.